In the book of Ecclesiastes, which I'd like to make a few comments from this afternoon, it says, and I almost always read this at a service, though I will often go elsewhere in terms of how I want to apply things, but this scripture verse is so appropriate for what we are doing. The book of Ecclesiastes says, in the 7th chapter, a good name is better than a good ointment. And the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, because that is the end of every man. And the living takes it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for when the face is sad, a heart may be happy. The mind of the wise is in the house of mourning, while the mind of fools is in the house of pleasure. It is better to listen to the rebuke of the wise man than listen to the songs of fools. Better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting, because that's the end of every man. The testimony that I've heard, not only today, but earlier, about Larry, is that he was a man who has, to this day, and will have for quite some time, a good name. And those of you who've been blessed to know him know something of his integrity, as Bob pointed out, and his willingness not only to do the job well and excellently, but to do what is necessary to help those who are in need of that help, whether it be other employees, making sure they have what they need to do the job well, or someone who is in a need. But one thing that Larry says to us today is, as Solomon said so many years ago, that the end of Larry is the end of every person in this room. Now, if you've ever read the book of Ecclesiastes, and some of you may have, some of you may not, but there's a repeating theme in the book. It says, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. And a lot of people think that the book is about the kind of the meaninglessness of life. I don't believe that. I'm going to come back and tell you why. But the reason why it says that is because Solomon, as he looks out over the life, says that I've seen righteous men whose life has come to an end early, and I have seen evil men who have prolonged their life with evil. I've seen injustice. I've seen fools who have prospered, and wise men who've lost everything. There is, in this world, a certain brokenness. Now, this is the second funeral message I've given in 1 week. Last week, we were here again for, and I said at the time, and reminded people at the time, that the world is out of socket. The entire universe is out of socket. It's out of joint. What I mean by that, I mean that there is a futility to the repetitiveness of life. Ranging from the simplest of things, my young son says, Dad, why do I have to make my bed? It's just going to get messed up later tonight. To the constant re-roofing of buildings, and even when you've done them excellently, they will need to be re-roofed. The pantry constantly has to be restocked. The lawn has to constantly be remowed. What in life is there in which not only is there, you know, it's going to have to be done again and again and again, but also know that in that effort, the return for your effort is never quite the same. So often in life, you work harder than the result produces. And so all of life, there's, people said there's kind of this vanity to it. There's this brokenness. There's this, why try when those who don't try as hard succeed, and when those who aren't as good are rewarded? But that's really not the point of the book of Ecclesiastes. 29 times in 27 verses throughout the book, Solomon says the phrase, under the sun. Life under the sun. And a lot of it has to do with labor. If you look up under the sun, most often it's tied to the labor under the sun or what is done under the sun. And life is hard. Life is full of work. And it's the rare person who ever gets to the point where they never have to work again. It's the rare person who gets to a point where there's no more effort needed in anything. I can coast. For the vast majority of people, life is full of labor and hard work. And just when you think you've done enough, there's more to do. Solomon is talking about life under the sun. But then there's another key phrase that he uses throughout the entire book. And that is the book, the phrase, the gift of God. Life under this sun, with all of its vanity, all of its repetitiveness, all of its brokenness, all of its death, all of its injustice, is a gift. Now, not everybody enjoys life, and not everybody is able to enjoy life, because they don't understand that ultimately the satisfaction of life and the joy of life and the gift of life comes from the hand of God Himself. And they try so hard to live it on their own. But the Solomon says, enjoy life with the woman who you love all the days of your fleeting life, which He has given to you under the sun. For this is your reward in life and in your toil in which you have labored under the sun. Enjoy life with the woman whom you love in the days of your fleeting life. And so many people are so worried about tomorrow, which you're going to have to work again anyway. They put so much fear in what's going to happen because the vanity or the brokenness or the repetitiveness of life, they worry about tomorrow and they never can enjoy their life, their wife, their children, their neighbor, the gifts that God has given now. Because everything that God has given in this life was a gift for you. But not everybody can enjoy it. It's kind of like this. God has given everybody a can of peaches to enjoy. But He has not given everybody the can opener. The can opener and the can are not the same thing, are they? And there's some people who have so much of these wonderful peaches to enjoy and they can never get at them because they're so worried about the repetitiveness and the vanity and the brokenness and the uncertainty that they never get to enjoy the gift that God has given. Enjoy the life with the woman whom you love all the days of your fleeting life. Because as Larry would remind us, life is fleeting. At 60, basically, his life is gone. That's a young man. And every year of my life, 60 gets younger. I'm 52 now. 60 used to seem really old, but right now, that seems to be late teenage years to me. Right? Some of you understand what I'm saying? One of my best friends in all of life is a woman who's 96 years old, and to her, everybody's a child. Life is fleeting. Life is vanity because there's this repetitiveness, but life is a can of peaches. Life is full of a gift. Life under the sun is a gift that God has given. And I think the question that Larry would say to you, ask of you, as you dwell in the house of mourning this afternoon, can you enjoy the life that God has given you? His life is gone. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon will say, in death, there's no more passion. There's no more zeal in death. His love for car racing is now over. Are you enjoying life? Or are you merely a possessor of a can of peaches to which you cannot open? Solomon puts it this way. He says, "For what a man gets in all his labor and in his striving with which he labors under the sun? Because all his days his task is painful and grievous. Even at night his mind does not rest. This too is vanity. There is nothing better for a man than to eat and drink and tell himself that his labor is good. This also I have seen, that it is from the hand of God. For who can eat and who can have enjoyment without him?" That's having the peaches without the can open. "For a person who is good in his sight, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy, while to the sinner he has given the task of gathering and collecting so that he may give to the one who is good in God's sight. This too is vanity and striving after wind. It is God's gift to you to enjoy that which he has provided." I think Larry would say to us this afternoon, are you able to enjoy your life? If you're married, can you enjoy your spouse? Because life will soon be over. If you're a parent, can you enjoy your children? Because they soon will be gone. In fact, Tom, even you, some of you who have receding hairlines like I do, will remember the song, "The Cat in the Cradle and the Silver Spoon." Remember that song? I will not test you with hearing me sing again. But Tom shared that moment. Dad called and said, "Can you do such and such?" "And I can't right now because..." Can you enjoy your children? Life is fleeting. And Solomon said, "For who can eat and who can have enjoyment without God?" You can have everything that you've ever wanted. The house by the lakes, health, beauty, 401k that will allow you to retire for 35 years, travel, a quiver full of children. You can have a good name, a bad name. You can be a wise man, a fool. You can be a rich person or poor. You can be one who has found justice in life, or you can be a victim of injustice. But all of this comes from the hand of God and is marked by what is life under the sun. And can you enjoy what has come? Can you enjoy the circumstances that God has provided? If you can't, then you're like the man who has the can of peaches without the can open. What is the can opener? The can opener is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the author and perfecter of faith. The can opener is God's most precious Holy Spirit, who is the author and giver of life. What is the can opener? It's God Himself, who is the one who is able to give to you and make you enjoy that which He has provided. One last verse. "Furthermore, as to every man whom God has given riches and wealth, He has also empowered him to eat from them, and to receive his reward, and to rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God." Larry would say to us this morning or this afternoon that don't miss life. Don't let another day go by without enjoying that which God in his providence has brought to you, whether it be bitter or sweet. Tomorrow is promised to no one, isn't it? But the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who is able to bring a person to enjoy both life and death. Where Solomon says that while the mind, while the face may be sad, the heart may be happy. There can be a joy in the midst of sorrow, peace in the midst of turmoil, happiness in the midst of trial, and life even in the midst of death. And Larry would say to us, is that true of you? Let my life that has come to an end, many would add with the adjective prematurely, or I guess the adverb prematurely, speak to each and every one of you. Solomon would later say, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your strength. Love your wife. Love your husband. Embrace your children. Eat, drink, enjoy life under this sun. And the greatest enjoyment for wife and husband and parent and all that you will ever have will be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Apart from Him, there is only loss. Or as the Apostle Paul would say, to live is Christ and to die is to gain. Larry would say to you maybe these words, if you were to die today, would your life, would your death be a loss or would it be gain? Or the old Puritans would say, many give themselves to living well, but are you prepared to die well? Christ is the means by which we open the can and enjoy the good and the bad, the bitter and the sweet, the blessing and the trial, the just and the unjust, and not only to be able to enjoy them, but to sing and to dance and to laugh in all of life, even life that's marked by real sorrow and heartache and pain. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that the power of life is in You, not in ourselves. The power of life is in You and not in things. The power of life is a gift that You provide that we might enjoy others and things. Father, we thank You for Larry and we ask that You would be merciful to him and grant to his body and soul the riches that can only come from You through Christ. We pray for Julie and Paul and Tom and Larry's father and brothers and the extended family. Lord, we ask grace and mercy and peace would attend their minds and hearts. We pray, Lord, for all that have come. We thank You for them and for what they have given up to be here. We pray Your blessing upon them. And we would ask You, Lord, to be merciful to each and every one of us and grant us the wisdom that can only come from above, that in Larry's death that we might find the grace that we need to open up all of life, that we might live it to the fullest for Your glory, for the enjoyment of life itself, and for the enrichment of those that You bring into our life. Have mercy on us because of Christ, in whom we pray. Amen.